I be playing.
Hello and welcome again to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's week 10 of the college football season, and as we all know, there's a monumental game coming up tonight between the Alabama Crimson Tide and the LSU Tigers. I'm Mark Mayfield, editorial advisor and student media here at UA, and with me, of course, our co-host, Dr. Adam Sterrett, assistant vice president for student life, and Andrew Deer, coordinator of facility operations for University Recreation. Got a great guest joining us in just a few minutes, Bobby Embody, Director of Forensics in UA's College of Communication and Information Sciences. But first, guys, there's a lot of games going around the country today, including a big one in Baton Rouge.
Big one in Baton Rouge tonight, obviously one of the more exciting games of the year. Going into the season, I don't think we were really we really just didn't know what to expect from LSU. Obviously, Coach O has a history of not coaching very well, and also coaching well. Right. So we were kind of up in the air. But that
inconsistent
team, there you go. That's the perfect word.
I like your
thank
way
you.
Better.
Yeah, but LSU, this LSU team is really dang good, and they've proven that they are a worthy match for Alabama. And so it's really exciting to finally get here and see what we've got going on.
Yep.
It's certainly an exciting game. I wonder if we have overhyped it to be such a matchup that's going to go down for the ages.
We want it to be, though.
Somebody wants it to be. I don't want it to be. I want it to be 54-0.
Right.
That's
right, exactly.
You're right.
I want it to be over in the first quarter,
exactly.
Man.
It doesn't matter to me at all. But for a game that's been 12-3 and 6-9 and all these different things, I don't think this is one of those games at all.
No.
Mostly because of us. Because in one or two plays, we can score 7 points, and that is not something that we have had the ability to do in the past very rarely. And so that kind of grinding, low-scoring game in Death Valley, which is kind of been the hallmark of this matchup recently, certainly for the last decade, I don't think this game's going to be like that. And I think that plays towards our favor quite a bit in that 9-6, 12-6, no touchdowns, bend don't break game has always played towards their favor, whether they won or not, which they have not had a good stretch
well,
of actually beating us.
They're going to have to make it that type of game to have a chance.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to have to do. So,
yeah. They're not playing Blake.
No.
Hills. They're not, they're just not playing. It's just a different thing.
Right.
Well, we'll get to that game and all the other things that surround that game in Baton Rouge.
What did I say, Mills?
Yeah, it's Blake Sims.
Okay. You can correct me on
yeah,
there.
It's oh, okay. It's Sims.
Don't do it in private.
Oh, okay.
Let's just get this all out here.
There we go. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to keep the integrity of the radio.
Is Blake Mills an actual person?
He might be. He probably works the Ferg or something.
Well,
yeah.
They would have had a better time with Blake Mills than Blake Sims.
If there are any Blake Mills out there, come see us.
Come on the Skybox.
Okay? I think he's like a bad British musician or something.
Could be.
We'll get our intern
you would know
on the break.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's move on.
Might have a bad band going on. You're right. Texas A&M at Auburn here in just a few minutes.
It's a good game.
Well, the Gus Bus is finally – the wheels are coming off, fellas. That talented Auburn team, unfortunately – or fortunately for us, is not they're not very good.
No.
Lost Tennessee at home.
The Gus Bus, he needs to get a new bus, and the reason is that thing.
Auburn needs to get a new bus.
Well, the bus will ride pretty well one year, and then it completely falls apart the next year. He's buying his buses from the wrong place.
Yeah.
I think I don't know
you
what's
see
going
the
on.
Reports late this week, they were late last week about the visit from Kelly Bryant right to Auburn. They
oh,
loved
yeah.
his visit there and.
Yeah,
that could be a great quarterback.
Ain't worried about Kelly Bryant.
Not worried about him.
No,
nah. But anyway, that's kind of. We'll get to our picks later. But that's a very interesting game. Couple others, a big one in the SEC, or people are trying to make this out to be a big game. Georgia, Kentucky.
Yeah, Adam, are you officially going to adopt the Kentucky Wildcats as your team now that Florida State's struggling? Marky Stoops is your dude.
He is my dude.
And they're a pretty dang good football
they're
team this year.
They've got some videos they've made about this game. I just don't see a path to them beating Georgia, especially Georgia having already kind of taken a loss and gotten that chip back on their shoulder. I think that timing in the season certainly matters for things like this. And They're mad, and they see a path to the East, and they see a path, to Atlanta, and their path to Atlanta goes through blowing out Kentucky today.
Right, absolutely. I
don't think there's any two ways about it.
I think we'll get to our picks later, but we all agree that Kentucky's most likely going to lose. But it is nice to see Mark Stoops have some success. Kentucky stuck with him. He's not, he is doing better than most other guys have really ever done there.
He's doing better than most of the Stoops. Not every Stoops has a job right now.
You're right.
Okay?
And
Bear Bryant may be the only one that's ever done better.
Right.
I mean, he's really, Stoops is doing great.
And it's great to see after in his fifth season him actually have some success. I hope he doesn't have that against Tennessee, but we'll see. He most likely will.
I think he's going to, but we'll see. Is this
the biggest game in Kentucky history? Like a home game, biggest home game in Kentucky history? Since the 1950 season, most likely?
Yeah, and it certainly is the biggest game since the SEC split in two divisions.
Absolutely.
Championship game. They've never been this close to winning the East, I don't think.
No.
This is amazing work. And, there's a chance they could win this game. Like I said, I know.
They've got to ugly it up, man.
But it's but with defense, the thing about Georgia, well, we'll talk about this in our picks, but Georgia's – if you can somehow stop their running game, you've got a chance. Mm-hmm. And LSU did that, but again, Kentucky's not LSU, so we'll see.
I think this South Carolina Ole Miss game is a total stinker. Don't get me wrong, but it's a tough pick.
Absolutely,
I don't have any idea that's going to win the game.
In Vegas, it's basically at a pick 'em now. Absolutely. So which makes it tough.
So that's an early game. That's a stinker, but interesting. And West Virginia Texas is
a good game.
Yeah, 2:30.
Yeah, Will Greer. We'll see how he does against Texas. Probably pretty well.
Absolutely, this will be another is Texas back game.
I know.
Which we'll probably be having for the next 3 years with them.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Penn State, Michigan, a decent Big Ten game.
Yep. That should be interesting. That'll Michigan's they're on a mission, I guess, to revenge mission, and they got it against the Sparty last week.
Yep.
But
right.
Now Penn State, I think, blew them out last year.
They did.
So this
Ohio State having a loss now against Purdue, then that brings Michigan kind of a little bit. Starts looking towards that game in November.
And that's the thing. They're right outside the college football playoff. Harbaugh, I'm sure, has heard the rumors of him not really being able to get it done as a coach. So I think this Michigan team is on a mission. But Penn State is a good football team.
And Fields wearing the official khakis.
Yeah, he is.
I got the khaki lord's outfit.
That's a subtle. You do. He's got a Mayfield.
I got it, man.
Our listeners need to know. Mark has got the blue pullover on. Vineyard Vines, great.
Right.
And then the khakis on. So all you're missing is those big glasses and a hat.
Well, and if you're allowed to have liquids in the studio, then you would have the milk.
I would. I'd have the goblet full of milk.
We are not allowed.
Goblet full of
whole milk. Yeah, I would.
Shout out to Terry Siggers for following the rule.
Right. Terry won't let us bring. Any drinks in here,
right?
Especially alcohol, but no, just kidding. We never have done that. Just so the listeners know that we don't do that.
Your hat here.
That's right. they're making this out to be a huge game. Notre Dame at Northwestern.
Yes.
And Northwestern can play some ball, especially at home. So who knows?
I don't think Notre Dame lose.
I would too. We have not taken Notre Dame seriously in this show. But they're a good football team this year.
Well, if they went out there in the playoffs,
absolutely. I would love for Alabama to get a shot to just demolish them again. It'd be great, wouldn't it? This is not a big game, but it's a game that I always 100% bet. I always bet on the Duke Blue Devils, and I know that's tipping my hat a little bit.
Duke all the time.
But they're just an easy pick. They fly under the radar. Everybody looks at their history. They think Duke stinks. And then David Cutcliffe has a really boring team that wins football games.
Miami's going to have 1,300 fans in the stadium.
Yeah.
You think they're going to have that many?
1,300. Half of those will be employees.
They will be. They'll be paid, and they'll be concessions workers, and they'll be about 2 hours outside.
Don't they just open
Miami,
the gates?
But they are going to be ready for this game.
They just open the gates and say walk in, don't they? They don't have the need of ticket holders.
It's a Hard Rock Stadium. People think they're going there to see the memorabilia.
What has happened?
David Lee Roth isn't there, and all of a sudden they watch a football game.
Miami's drop-off has been kind of really bad this year.
Yeah.
Did LSU just break them at the beginning of the season? What happened?
LSU wasn't that good that game.
Well, Miami did that swoon last year, too. Remember they won? They went 6-0 or something, got up there, ranked high, and then they
Rick is not that great of a coach?
He's a nice guy.
I'm not going to go there. Not yet. Maybe another 30 years I'll go there.
Well, let's put it this way. It's possible he certainly can't win a championship.
It's possible that he's a mad decent coach.
He's a get to a conference championship once every 10 years, maybe. Coach.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, a lot of schools would take that.
They should.
Kentucky would take that.
Kentucky should take that.
Yeah, but Georgia's, with their history.
They
actually did take it for a long time.
Yeah.
So they finally got serious. Hey, let's take a quick break.
Yeah, he is.
Let's take a quick break. We're going to be back here with our special guest, Bobby Embody, in just a few seconds, in a minute. So you're listening to Skybox on 90.7, the Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7, the Capstone.
You are back in the Skybox on 90.7, the Capstone. It's a pleasure today to have Bobby Embody back in the studio with us. Bobby was with us last year and brought very, very interesting picks and just fine conversation. Bobby is our director of forensics here at UA's College of Communication Information Services, is that right?
Sciences,
right?
Information sciences.
I got it right.
The nice folks in the library are going to want you to get that right.
Right, you're right. Right. That's a combination over.
Luckily, the folks in the library probably don't listen to the show.
Well, I don't know. Probably some strong. Large chance that they do. And big football fan, Bobby Embody. So welcome. Thank you for coming back.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be back. This is a fun thing for me to do.
So it's LSU week. We're here on campus. The game's away. Going to the Red Stick.
Which is just a glorified swamp.
It is a glorified swamp.
I mean, I guess
that's my favorite town.
That maybe is putting it too nicely, too. It's glorified. I think there are far more glorified swamps, but Baton Rouge is certainly a swamp.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they've got their snow cone places, right?
So they've got frozen daiquiri places, You can just drive through and get a drink.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah
the Red Stick. So we used to have
The whole of Louisiana, you can do that. It's quite the deal.
Yeah. We had a minor league hockey team in Tallahassee for a while, the Tallahassee Tiger Sharks, and a big rivalry of ours was the Red Sticks.
Well, in Baton Rouge.
There we go.
Baton Rouge.
Well,
surprisingly, that didn't last very long. Yeah.
But did they play the Lexington Thoroughblades?
Oh, I don't know.
That was a good name. Yeah, it was a great name.
We had the Columbus Chill for a while.
Oh, okay.
That was great.
They had a great logo.
All right.
They had great sweaters.
Nothing like the Frozen Tide, though.
All right. Frozen Tide, you're right.
All right. We got the Frozen Tide now in this in the college world.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, Bobby, you are in the heart of your forensic schedule right now.
So we are. We have
the tough time for y'all.
We travel all year long. If the month has an R in it, basically we're traveling somewhere. So we start in September and we go through April. Really, we kind of take December off depending on the year. And this year we don't have a tournament. So we're my team is actually in Peoria, Illinois, at Bradley University right now. We took a small group up there to a speech tournament, and so I got to stay home. So that's why I got to be here with you all and get to watch football today.
And you have hit how many other places?
We've already been off campus three times. To four different campuses. We went to Western Kentucky University.
Shout out!
We don't know anybody up there that's worth anything. Yeah. So
what a dump!
Spent a month there.
What a dump!
We were there for a month, weekend in September on the hill. That's
but
what they call it.
We are the best, aren't we?
So Western Kentucky's got a pretty good speech team, right? They got good people up there. It's good. I've actually got one of their alums on my staff this year, so that's great.
The pipeline from Western Kentucky to Alabama just continues to be strong.
Well, there's a lot of competition for people out of Western Kentucky.
That's right.
A lot of stuff to do
and,
up there.
And they want to get out of there as fast as they can. Yeah. So Tuscaloosa is a bit of a step up. Then we hosted a tournament on campus, which is great. We had 17 other colleges and universities from around the country here. It actually factored in to be probably our toughest tournament of the year. And the reason we got such a draw is we're hosting the National Speech Tournament here this spring.
Oh, wow.
April 5, 6, and 7 on our campus. There are going to be roughly 80 other colleges and universities, speech teams from all over the country here competing for the top prize in the entire country. So we're pretty proud to be able to host that thing. We've been planning on it for about 3 years now, 4 years. And we're really excited to bring everybody to campus. So a lot of schools came in at the beginning of October to see what Tuscaloosa was like to be on campus. And we got to be in the Ferg, which is awesome. Everybody loved it. The tournament director of the national organization was here and wanted to kind of give us a little test. And we passed with flying colors. They were just in awe walking around our facilities. And we had a beautiful weekend for it. It was kind of hot, but it was still great. But then we left campus a couple more times. We went to Kansas State University. for a little apple there. The little apple.
That's what you
Kansas.
Call it.
It's just it's an excellent
time. Yeah, you do.
So listen, they got
it's because of them. That's because of Bobby.
I used to work at K-State, so and it was just a lovely place to live and work. So it was awesome to get to take a group of students up there. It was a long drive. It was a long weekend traveling to get up there and back. But our students really enjoyed it. It was nice to see a different part of the world, really, for us. And then this past weekend, we split up a couple of directions, and we went to I took a group to Rome, Georgia, to Berry College, which is the largest campus in the world, by the way. 27,000 acres of college campus.
It's pretty. I've been through there.
It's gorgeous. It's
a nice
campus.
Yeah.
And we sent a group of students to Lafayette, Louisiana, to a tournament there at
Raging Cajuns.
Cajuns. And we, we've only not won two tournaments that we've traveled to so far this year. So our students have been doing really well.
That's great.
Competitively. They're learning a lot and really getting a pretty good run on their season. We've got one more this tournament this weekend at Bradley University, and then next weekend or in 2 weeks we're going to Carson Newman University up in Jefferson City,
Tennessee.
My uncle
went to Carson Newman.
Yeah. It's an interesting little place, Jefferson City, Tennessee. There's not much going on there.
No, there's not.
But we're going to go up there for a speech tournament that'll round out our fall, and then in the spring we'll be on the road pretty much every week. We'll go to Florida, to UF, to a tournament. We'll go to Charlotte, to UNC Charlotte for a tournament.
You don't want to go on that trip, Adam?
You don't want to travel with the team?
I don't want to go on that trip.
That's a busy schedule.
Are we going to wipe the floor with Florida?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Yeah, it's important.
While there's some excellent programs in the SEC that do speech and debate, we're the best one. We've got the best support out of all of those schools, and that's largely due to Dean Nelson in the College of Communication Information Sciences and the Provost Office and Provost Whitaker and my department chair, Beth Bennett. They really support us immensely with budget to travel and scholarships for our students, and so we enjoy a lot of great support from the people here at the university, and that allows us to be the best team in the conference every year without question.
You being here on a fall weekend is very rare. Like Mark was saying, you're busy for the entirety of fall and into spring and really through April, so this is rare that you're just a normal
basically starting in January 1, like I'll be on the road almost every weekend through February, and then we kind of get March to get ready for nationals. And usually we're gone a week or so for the national tournament. But this year, because we're home, we're going to get to be home, which will be nice. But
in early spring, you're still trying to get people qualified for nationals.
Yeah, absolutely. Our students qualify all year long throughout the season to get qualified for the national tournament. They basically have to be in the top three of their any given event for three different tournaments. And then they get qualified and go to the national tournament. Of about 3,000 students, no, I'd say it's more than that, out of about 10,000, no. What's the number I want? It's about 5,000 students start the year competing in collegiate forensics with the hope to qualify for the national tournament, and roughly about 300 of them will qualify.
And
our students are 25 or 26 students will be among those. So they're kind of in the top 10% of students.
It's incredible.
In the country. So
as you get later in the spring, you get more intentional about who you're putting into which events to try to get those.
Yeah,
spots,
absolutely.
Right? I've always found that really interesting.
We have to be really strategic about our resources, basically, is what it comes down to. We have to watch our budget and make sure that we're traveling within our means and getting the most bang for our buck. So our students really have an internal competition amongst themselves to get to be in the van to go to the tournament to try to get their chance to qualify. So, and because of the size of our squad, it's kind of a robust competition there. One of the things we tell our students is that they're pretty lucky in that way, too, is that they get great competition on campus to then get to go to the next thing. And so we get to sharpen each other on the weekends or during the week.
Yeah, practice field, you're already seeing better competition than you're going to see in the tournament.
Yep. So. Not unlike, the Crimson Tide football team, right? The twos here are going to be – would be starters almost anywhere else. When we've got that same kind of mentality that the next line has got to be just as good, and you get better by competing against the ones every week in practice.
Right. So. That's great.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, one of your students helps mix the show for us here.
Imani Williams. She's a first-year student on our team. We, just found her. She's an excellent poet and performer, and we were thrilled to get to add her to the mix on the team. She's learning a lot. She had some great success last weekend at Berry College, won her first event for us.
Shout out to Imani,
That's great.
Yeah, and that and got a second place, her first really big final rounds that she was in. So it was really great to get her moving in her first year. So we're really
it's
pumped about
it. For an Orlando kid.
Right?
Yeah. That's right.
Tough out of O-Town, man.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Well, it's great to have her with us, you know, helping us produce this show. So she's been great. It's just wonderful. So, well, it sounds like such a great program you have, an award-winning program. And, yeah, I'm used to seeing announcements out of the communication school about the awards you all win. I mean, it's amazing. What a program. I didn't realize Nationals is here. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a bidding process, and we put in for it, like I said, about 4 years ago, and they chose us, and we're just thrilled to have it. And we're able to bring back alums now at this point and other founders of the program. Dr. Frank Thompson is still around, who was the coach before me, and he's getting to hang out and see people, and it's just been – It's going to be an awesome time to have people on campus in April.
It's great.
It's great. Well, Bobby, you have graciously agreed to stay with us really for most of the show this afternoon. So
heck
let's
yeah.
get into the real deal now here after this break is getting into your picks. And I think we're going to all four of us just kind of roll through our picks here for the next couple of segments and see how we do. Once again, y'all are listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Come back.
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We have our special guest here, Bobby Embody. We are going to go through some of our picks. Bobby, are you ready?
I'm absolutely
Fellas,
ready.
Fellas, are you ready?
Notes. We are. I got we jokes. Got Bobby on a full slate today.
We do. Right. Bobby?
I'm picking them all.
I see Bobby brought some intel.
He's
here.
Got some notes. He's going to make us look bad. But
yeah,
it's okay.
He
is.
Well, they're, you know, they all every guest does, but Bobby knows his football.
Nobody makes us look
you know.
We'll That's true. Yeah. Let's get started, fellas. How about 11 a.m., Texas A&M and Auburn, one of the better games of the day. Bobby, I'm going to go to you first since you're the guest.
Jimbo and the Gus Bus.
So yeah.
Jimbo and the Gus Bus. Like, listen, these schools are basically the same. They both suck, and they're basically just glorified cow colleges. But if you're going to pick one, you got to take the original one. So you just got to go with the Barn here, and because I think they're going to win the game anyway. I think Jimbo's still a year or two away from being the competitive team that they're going to be. So Gus will right the ship. They'll pull out a win here. I think it's they're at home. You go with the Barn here. I think
I'm going to go a little different. I am. This may be a little wishful thinking. Well, maybe a lot of wishful thinking on my part. But I think A&M has. If you just put them on a neutral field, I think A&M has the better team this year. Not that they got a great team, but I think they're better than Auburn. And but it is an Auburn, so you know it's not a neutral field. But I'm going with A&M. I think maybe, you know, Jimbo versus Gus. I think Jimbo might get the best of them. Close game. But I think A&M's got more offense than Auburn, and that's why I'm going with them. We'll see.
I'm taking Auburn because they're at home. I probably would have taken A&M if they're at home. But I think they both coaches try to outsmart themselves and just kind of do something stupid. And Jimbo loses 5 timeouts. Out of nowhere, and Gus has some trick play that goes sideways.
You're talking like you know this from experience with Jimbo.
It's going to be an ugly game, but somebody's got to win. I'm kind of with Bobby, and Barnes going to win.
I'm going with A&M. I watched Tennessee beat Auburn at home, so I don't think it really matters that they're in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Well, you're right.
And honestly, I think A&M is a better team than Auburn this year. So I think you know Jimbo's going to have them ready to rock and roll, and I think Texas A&M is going to be.
It's going to be rattling the face masks. Getting
people
ready.
Absolutely. staying with 11 a.m., we have Michigan State versus Maryland. Maryland has had a tumultuous week, and actually last couple months, which is really disheartening and sad to see what has gone on at Maryland. But we've got to pick the game. Adam, what are you thinking about this one?
Sparty's going to win, and Maryland is that.
They're in shambles,
so
man.
Many problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Sparty too.
Oh, Sparty all the way. You want to root for these kids in Maryland.
Yeah, right. It's not their fault. I mean,
right, because they've been just through the ringer, and to hear about the way they handled their team meeting and they finally firing his coach and the chair of the board finally resigned yesterday, too. Like, what a mess.
Levels. Yeah.
So you want to root for those kids. Like, I would love to see Maryland win here, but they're going to lose way more football games, and this is the start before it gets better.
This is too big for them to keep it together mentally. They're 19, 20 year old.
They're going to lose, and they're going to lose by a lot. It's going to be a bummer for them.
I agree. I'm going Michigan State as well, just for that reason, just because of all the turmoil that football team's had to go through this week and everything that's come out, that's happened at practices and things like that.
They also weren't that good. Like, I mean, Maryland's not that good either.
They did beat a back Texas.
Early on, they beat that bad Texas, Texas game. But, they're just not that good to begin with.
Right.
They can't overcome this.
Well, speaking of bad, Nebraska.
Yeah, speaking of bad, Scott Frost. Nebraska, 11 a.m. at Ohio State.
They got that win last week, didn't they?
They did. They got them one.
Have they won two in a row?
Yeah.
Oh, they won two in a row now?
No, I thought it was only one.
Didn't they have Bethune-Cookman or something recently, too?
Was
that the game after they beat Minnesota?
We lost in Nebraska market a few weeks ago because somebody had some bad words about them, and so we didn't have any.
Somebody pointed at Mark Mayfield.
Yeah. All right, there we go.
Listen, it's hard to find nice things to say about Nebraska.
It is.
Are we all in agreement that Ohio State's going to mop the floor with them?
Oh, yes.
I think so, yeah. Especially coming off.
Yeah.
No fearless pick for you this week, Mark?
No way.
I wanted Nebraska to go 0-12.
I did.
I really hoped that's what was going to happen.
It was still nice they went 0-6, though.
Yeah,
it's still pretty
nice
good.
Consolation
after the first two games.
In the first time, that national championship coach, Scott Frost, you know.
So after they lost those first couple of games, I felt a little bad for them. But then after they lost the third game and the fourth game in a row, I was like, yeah, just go 0-12.
Yeah, now it's
just burn it all down. This is like the best thing for them, right?
As somebody who grew up a big Tennessee fan in the 90s, I just despise Nebraska and always will. They were just so good in the 90s. They beat everybody. A six-year-old kid can't really handle that when Peyton Manning's supposed to win and he can't get it done. So,
that's true.
I've carried that with me my whole life.
You know what the N on their helmet stands for, right?
No, I don't.
Knowledge.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Is that your first joke? You said you had some.
I've got jokes.
That's a pretty good one. Seven.
Oh, yeah, I need to
the other ones.
I've been zipping them off here.
Your cans on. You got to turn this up.
We still have another 11 a.m. game. We have South Carolina at Ole Miss. Adam, you said this was a stinker.
I think this is a stinker.
But a tough one to pick.
It's a stinker. It's what I would call an Andrew Deere special. I'm surprised you're not on the jet.
You know, I'll make it to an Ole Miss game here soon.
So, I think this is a stinker, but I'm going with Ole Miss at home for no good reason. They're both bad teams.
Yeah.
Listen, I forget that South Carolina's in the SEC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just do. And so I'm surprised when I see them. I'm like, oh, South Carolina's playing Ole Miss. I guess Ole Miss is going to win this game. Because, I mean, what are they even doing in Columbia right now?
They won that game in the rain, right?
Did they beat Tennessee last week by like a couple points?
They did.
So, gosh.
They did. Congrats.
Ole Miss is going to beat them.
Yeah. Great job, guys.
The rings made, guys.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Ole Miss is going to beat them at home.
You think so?
If this were in Columbia, I'd go with South Carolina. But I think Ole Miss beats them at home.
I think South Carolina is actually going to win this game.
You watch a lot of South Carolina.
I've watched more than I wish to admit. Yeah. So I'm going with the Gamecocks here for sure.
Yeah. Hmm. One that I won't be watching, Syracuse at Wake Forest. The best thing about this game is Wake Forest is in a nice place. Nice campus, but
have we talked about this on the most beautiful campus?
Yeah,
most beautiful campus in America. That's a big ask.
I think I said it had pretty trees, essentially.
Nice, but let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Is that a little too far? Yeah. Okay,
it's small.
Yeah. Right. I don't know.
I'm going with the orange on this one.
Me too.
Orange.
I'm going all Q's.
I'm going Q's too.
So I'm
going
to pick Wake. Syracuse has got a nice comm program.
They do.
But Wake Forest has got a debate program up there. I know one of the coaches up there, Justin Green. He's a great dude. And so I got to pick the Deeks. Why not, right? I got no love for Syracuse. I got no reason to pick
them. Yeah, this doesn't really matter, Bobby.
You can get it wrong.
A far better mascot, a Demon Deacon over an Orangeman.
Yeah.
Right. I saw that y'all were picking Cuse, I think, and so I was like, you know what, I'm going to go out on a limb here and go with the Deeks and see what's up. Who's the coach there now?
What's his name?
Jim Grobe.
Is he still there?
He was there for a long time.
You could give me 1,000 guesses and I wouldn't know.
I don't think I'd get it either. I'm wrong.
We just talked about Jim Grobe, so
I don't even care to find out. Too.
Intern, don't even Google it.
Right. Georgia at Kentucky, though, is a much bigger game, at least in the East Division of the SEC. So what do you think?
How exciting is this? We get a Georgia-Kentucky game that's, like, meaningful.
We get a Kentucky game that is meaningful.
I know, right?
I mean, outside of Florida for the East, this is our shot here.
Right.
One of these two teams is going to be there, right?
Right.
That's great.
They are.
I love the intrigue, right? I think you got to go UGA, though, right?
My
fried chicken-loving heart wants to pick Kentucky, but you can't do it. I think you got to pick Georgia here, but it's still going to be a fun game to watch, I think.
I think they may stomp them, though, right? I think...
Really?
I think Georgia may stomp them.
So here's the thing. Josh Allen, I think, is one of the best players in the league, and even America. So he's going to – him and that defense are going to have to absolutely ball out. You're laughing at me, Adam, but I'm right.
No. league, even America.
Right. Even America. So he's going to have about 38 sacks for them to have a chance, and I don't think that's physically possible.
That would be a record, I think.
That would be a record.
That might be a record. Right?
So who's the, Kentucky's going to lose.
The league and America.
Well, right. I think Fromm. I'm not sold on Fromm as a quarterback. I know they love him.
I like
Georgia,
that. I like that take.
And I know
keep
he
it
got
coming.
A, I know he got
put that
a
take
lot
into
of,
my veins.
So not 38 sacks, but they're going to sack him a few times because he's kind of a stiff in the pocket. The way I look at it,
haven't they been playing Wildcat quite a bit too on him? Like he's not been playing, taking every snap. In
not
games.
Every snap. And but Georgia's a much better team. I mean, they got the athletes. They got, you know, and Fromm can throw the football. He's got receivers, but their running game is still their power. But I think it's going to be a close game. I think Georgia wins, but I think Kentucky's defense will keep them in that game until later. You know, until the second half at least. It may not be, you know, it may not be 3 points close, but I think it'll be a closer game, and I think it won't be that high scoring. But Georgia's going to win this game. I just don't see how Kentucky.
What's the name of the running back of Kentucky?
Benny Snell.
Snell?
Yeah.
I love that kid, man. I listen to him talk any day.
He's awesome.
What a great character in college football. We need more of that. We need more of that kid. So I kind of, you know, I'd love to see Kentucky win this game, but I don't think they will.
Right,
I don't think
I'd love they've... to be.
Alabama would beat them by 1,000 in the SEC championship. I'm fairly certain. Yeah,
which would be fun to watch too.
Yes,
right? Which I kind of also would like to see.
Right. It'd be that would be the return to Catlanta is what they would Kentucky fans would call it. I don't know if y'all are aware. Kentucky fans mostly in basketball call Atlanta Catlanta.
That's very
New
weird.
Orleans when they go to New Orleans because they
that's
won.
Horrible.
Yeah, it's so bad.
I've been there for a Final Four when it was Catlanta.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
they're terrible, aren't they?
Yeah,
it's basketball season for Kentucky fans.
They got
so.
Good bourbon and they race horses.
That's
there,
right.
Though,
Keeneland know? Is
so
a
they
fine
got that
place.
Going for them, which is nice.
Which is a lot more than a lot of places.
That's for sure.
That's true.
No doubt about it.
So. Looking at you, Mississippi.
Right. Yeah. Louisiana.
Right. Right.
Tennessee. Uh-huh. Anyway, why don't we take a break here, right? So why don't we take a break? We've got more picks to come.
Yeah.
We're about halfway through the list here. Let's pick it back up here after a break here on 9.7 The Capstone. We've got West Virginia, Texas coming up in the 2:30 on and into the evening with Alabama and LSU. So thanks so much for sticking with us, Bobby. And come back after the break here on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 at Capstone. Guys, we didn't quite get halfway through our games on the big board today. So where are we at here now? West Virginia at Texas, which is a pretty big game.
We got the comb over at Texas is back.
That's right. Hey, is Texas back, Bobby, in your opinion?
No, Texas can choke. That's all.
So they're not back?
No.
Okay, official answer.
No.
Robert Embody, Texas not back.
I don't think Herman's going to last there. I think he was.
That's a hot take.
I just don't think it's going to work. I think if it was going to work, it was going to work by now. I think West Virginia rocks them at home.
Ooh.
Just for funsies.
I agree. I think West Virginia's going to win. I don't think they're going to rock them at home. But, I like that. I like that take, though. I like that you're being fearless and going out there.
This feels like a game where West Virginia's just going to, like, Texas is going to lay down.
Right.
Because they don't know what else to do.
I'm going with the comb over in this one.
Yep. I'm going with a comb over. And Will Greer, I think, is going to get about like 5 touchdowns in this game passing. I agree. I think West Virginia – I don't think it's going to be close in the end either. I'm with Bobby on that. I think West Virginia goes in there and blows them out. Maybe not a complete wild blowout, but I think they'll – West Virginia wins this easily in the end.
I'm going to take Texas for really no other reason other than every once in a while I got to take somebody else. And so I'm going to take Texas, but I think Texas could lay down just as easily as they could win. Because West Virginia every once in a while is just going to lay down and play a crap game too.
So, they are.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And Will Grier may kind of feel his Florida past show up and choke on that and then lose the game. So I'm going to take Texas at home.
All right, a really big one now. Iowa at Purdue. I'm laughing. You know, these are two good schools, but football, you know.
What do Iowa, you think? Sneaky good this year, huh?
Yeah.
Bobby?
I'm taking Iowa on the road.
I think right? I'm picking Iowa, but I just it's boring care. Beyond words to talk about Iowa Purdue at on November.
I can't go 3rd. Against my guy Jeff Brohm. What he did for WK football, I'll love him forever. I'm going with the Boilermakers.
I'm going with Boilermakers just because of the win over Ohio State.
They're gonna bait you into picking them probably the rest of the year because of that.
And they'll lose. Games.
Yeah, they'll lose a lot. That's part of it.
I think at home they'll manage to beat Iowa today, but I don't care. Who knows? But I really don't care who wins that one. You know, I lived in Des Moines for a little while when I was at
people forget that.
Magazine. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, Hawkeye State. All right, Minnesota at Illinois. Another one. Dr. George Brown. Who is our former colleague, who is still our Fearless Picks colleague at UM. Who's he picking today?
Game.
Yeah, he does. That's right.
I didn't make it past the first line.
I don't know.
This is the Bill Starrett versus Joanne Starrett game, though.
Ooh.
These are my parents.
Is this a house divided game for them?
They don't care. But my mom went to Minnesota. My dad went to Illinois.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I think we should stop talking about this game. Minnesota's who I'm picking.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're better. And Illinois
really?
Awful.
Yes.
And Minnesota's awful.
Yeah.
It's super boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
even more boring than Iowa Purdue.
It really is.
Yeah. I'm going with the Golden Gophers.
I think I've got the Gophers because I like saying Gophers.
Yeah. It's a better mascot.
Yeah, way better.
Yep. Okay, Adam
Gophers.
I almost hate this is on the big board for you because Florida State, NC State reminds us all of the bad year that the Seminoles are having right now.
I don't mind a little reminder.
Yeah, we're gonna lose to NC State in Raleigh.
Yeah,
NC State, man.
Yeah, you are.
They've only lost one game
by two or three touchdowns.
It's possible. I agree.
17
I think,
points or more.
Yeah,
I mean they haven't found an offensive line, right?
No.
And I mean they just can't block anyone.
I really want my guy Willie to survive there, but I just don't think it's gonna happen.
So last week was the Clemson game, and I took a nap.
Mm.
Yeah, that tells you. That tells
you. Hate Clemson.
I really tell
you.
I
hate
Clemson.
Yeah.
I went shopping during the Syracuse game. Like, I'm just not even – I can't invest myself.
No, and you shouldn't. Neither should you. Right? No. That would be just torture on
exactly.
a degree
yeah.
that you don't
it's
deserve.
It's masochism that I don't – I got enough of that.
You really do. And so why add
you
this
really
to
do.
I already dislike myself for enough reasons that
listen,
I don't
join the club,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, let's not
I don't need
let's
this
not
team
kid
to
ourselves.
Beat me up every Saturday for 4 hours.
Right. So, yeah, don't do that to yourself. NC State's going to win this game, and it's not going to be close.
Nope.
Right. Yep.
And it's on ABC, so everybody gets to watch it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Congrats, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, great.
Checks in the mail. Mm-hmm. Penn State at Michigan.
Yeah, big
decent
game.
Big Ten game.
I think Michigan's going to win it. Did we talk? We might have talked about
we
this
talked about a little bit
earlier in the show. I think Michigan's on the cusp of the playoff. I think Harbaugh is kind of taking it personally. All the people talking smack about him not being able to coach. I know Mark has taken it personally because he mm-hmm. – I know it's a little after Halloween, but he's dressed up as Coach Harbaugh here in the studio.
The Lord.
You're just missing your milk, man.
I know.
Are there pleats or no pleats? That's the question.
No pleats.
No pleats?
Today.
Flat
yeah.
front?
Yeah. Honest
flat
to goodness, front. The outcome of this game could be –
I don't – you know.
It's good progress there.
Right.
Yeah. The outcome of this game could be a complete blowout or really close on either end, and none of it would surprise me. But I am picking Michigan to win. So
yeah, that team up north, I think, is going to win this game. I want to pick Penn State because I just can't stomach Michigan in any form. But they're favored by 10.5, I think, Michigan is. And when I saw that, I was a little shocked because I think everybody was pretty bully on Penn State early in the year. And they've taken a couple of brutal losses, right? And so now it's – yeah, I think it's Michigan's game to lose, and I think you're right about Harbaugh. This might be the year he finally figures something out, but we'll see. If they can beat Ohio State, that's really all that matters to them. And if they can do that and run the table at this point, they're going to be they might be find themselves in the playoff.
Yeah.
So I'm going off script. I'm flipping it. I'm going Penn State. I think Michigan could win for all these reasons, but I think this is the kind of Penn State team this year that they have one great game and then a couple eggs that they lay, and so I'm going to take Penn State to go on the road, and Franklin's going to get his team fired up, and Khaki's going to fall on his face again.
This would be awesome.
So I'm going to go with that.
Now that you mention it, Bobby, the fact that Michigan is a big favorite, double digit, means Harbaugh could lose this game.
So that's kind of where I'm going.
Yeah, and this is exactly the kind of game where he's a favorite that he loses, you know, in his history so far at Michigan.
He's already looking at Ohio State. He's already looking at Michigan.
He's already celebrating. He's had no telling how many goblets of whole milk over the last week about his success this year. But I'm going with Michigan because they're at home in a big house. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if there was an upset in this game because I'm still not – I believe Michigan has a really good football team this year, and they can definitely run the table. But will they, you know?
Right.
So far, we've never seen Harbaugh, since he's been at Michigan, be consistent at all. So now he's got the team to do it. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Next game, we have Missouri at Florida. Adam, probably one of your favorite games, you know, Florida. Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, it's going to be rocking. What do you think? What do you think about this one? You're not going to watch it, are you?
Ooh, no.
Could I pay you to watch this game?
No.
Okay.
No, you cannot.
I could be bought.
I could definitely.
I've got a price.
I could be bought, yeah.
Yeah.
I think probably lower than you think, too.
Florida will win, I guess.
Yeah,
Missouri's not great.
Florida's the better football team. Missouri's not great, but they're also not bad. Mm-hmm. You know, that the ending was
– billboards.
Yeah, you're right. The ending – I'm sure the state is that way as well.
Right.
The ending of the Kentucky game was – it was fun and exciting, but that game was a stinker. They didn't get a first down the whole entire second half.
It's just not – they didn't play well.
Which is an unbelievable stat. So I think Florida's going to win.
I've got the Gators here because I just kind of want the floor. I want the stadium to collapse, first of all, during the game. But then I want Missouri to, like, as they're flying home from this game, to find out that their state has been firebombed as well. Like, it's just, it's the worst place. I had to drive through there 2 weeks ago, and it's just a never-ending nightmare of billboards and the worst roads in the Union. Like, it's just the worst place. I want them to leave the conference. I don't want us to talk about Missouri. I don't want to talk about it.
Strong words from everybody about Missouri.
I got no love for that place. I love Kansas City. Like, if you could keep that part.
Just get them over to Kansas.
The rest of it could just go away.
All right.
It's just the worst.
Who you got, Mark?
I got the Gators. I think they win. They're at home. They're in the fake swamp. I think they win this game.
There you go.
We'll see.
Next game, 3 p.m. Utah at Arizona State. Herm Edwards versus the Utes.
I got the Utes here.
Yeah,
I just
too,
like to
right?
say Utes. And yeah. I'm going to Utah this week.
This
next week.
I'm for work?
Tuesday, for a conference. I got to go to Salt Lake City. I've never been before, so I'm kind of getting pumped up about
sounds
it.
Like sounds like a lovely place.
Yeah, let's go.
It
I want to go
lovely.
See Utah.
I've been there.
I've got some friends who have
it's
been in the PhD program there at Utah, and they've loved it. And
Yeah.
Great Comm College there, too. So, I got the Utes
Utah's
here.
Utah's playing great football this year.
Yeah
I'm going. I'm
not great, but pretty good.
Well, I would like to choose Herm, but I'm going with Utah.
I'm going with Utah also, and I think they're the best team in the Pac-12 right now, which says the Pac-12's not having a very good year.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going with Utah. I think they may win the Pac-12.
Can we talk for a second about why Herm Edwards got hired at Arizona State? Like, is he going to really make that thing into something?
That's a great question. It's been a long time since he's been a head coach.
Right.
And
when I watch Arizona State games, because I'm, you know, an idiot who stays up late on Saturday night watching West Coast games.
We all are.
Like, I watch him on the sideline, and he looks disinterested.
Yeah.
He looks just like he's just trudging through this thing. Like, I just want to get it over with.
Right.
Yeah.
I know you. Who was the? There was a coach a while back who just never wore a headset. Oh, it was the guy
Brady Hoke?
Yeah, Brady Hoke at Michigan. Never wore a headset.
Nor did he wear a jacket.
He just never looked like he knew what was going on in any way, shape, or form. So Herm's got the headset on, but he's still got that look in his eyes that says, I don't know what's going on here, and I don't know why I'm here. Arizona State felt like they were reaching for that hire, and it just isn't going to bring them what they want.
No.
Yeah.
And that's it. Talking Arizona State with Bobby Embody.
Yeah.
There you go. next game is the game that I'm most excited about, Duke at Miami. I don't know why I love picking Duke. I'm just a big Cutcliffe guy. They fly under the radar and they win. So I'm going with Duke.
I missed a ton of Duke picks this year, though. Every time I pick them, they're tanking.
Well, you're not very good at picking games, Adam, so that's probably it.
He's in the lead right now. He took the lead. He's got the overall board.
That hurts.
He's pretty good this year.
That was a sick burn.
Yeah, that was. He's got the lead. Oh, it's been a rough year for me this year. I'm going with Duke also. I think Duke will I may have already on the big board picked Miami, but I'm going with Duke in this game.
Yeah. So I'm going Miami.
All 1,300 people are
going. Yeah, you know.
I've got Miami picked here too. Basically so I can make comments about the fact that their stadium is called Hard Rock Stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have to wade through a pool like to get into the stadium? Is there just
you think they have those little knick-knack souvenirs?
Yeah, do you have to buy a gaudy T-shirt that says something about I don't know what at the Hard Rock? Like what?
Yeah,
I just can't.
I think Eddie Van Halen's guitar is like in the visiting team locker room.
So wait till somebody comes in and wins a big one. They'll smash that.
That wouldn't surprise me at all, right? Oh God!
All right, we got to get through a couple here. We got Notre Dame at Northwestern. I've got the Irish. Adam, where you at?
I do too. This is where I really want them to fail. This would be just the perfect time for them to fail, but I don't think it's
going to happen. And Northwestern's good enough to win.
They are good enough to win, but I don't think they will.
No, I'm going Notre Dame. I think they do have a much better team than they've had before, and I think they'll win this one.
Right.
I've got the Domers, largely because I want them to win out so we get to play them in the playoffs.
That's
I want to play them in the playoffs so bad.
Yeah.
I want a Bama-Notre Dame semifinal game.
Bloodbath.
Where we beat them by 80. Yeah.
Yes.
Just because.
That would be.
I actually don't hate Notre Dame as much as most people do.
Speaking of Hard Rock, that's where Bama beat them.
That's right.
They could have beat them by 80 that night. Mm-hmm. They just had mercy. Right. Although it wasn't called Hard Rock then. They've renamed it Hard Rock.
I want to play them so bad in the playoff. And then the sem, I think, would be the best place to play them.
Right.
Or maybe the final would be even better, but gosh.
Yeah.
Oklahoma at Texas Tech. I've got Oklahoma.
Sooners.
Yep, Sooners.
Sooners. I want to pick Tech because I just despise Oklahoma.
Yeah,
but,
they're the better team.
Yeah, they really are.
Stanford at Washington. Did you say earlier that we hate picking Stanford,
Adam?
Yeah,
I'm tired of picking Stanford. Yeah. I'm going Washington. But Washington let us down a couple weeks.
Washington's a huge letdown.
They did.
I'm going with the Huskies.
I'm going with Washington, but nobody's going to be watching this game.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
It's not.
Yeah.
Not even the quarterback's moms are going to be watching this game.
Yeah.
They're going to be watching Bama LSU, and this game is going to get lost.
You're right. Nobody's watching.
Nobody's going to watch.
Not even the people in Seattle are watching.
There are no stakes for this game, and that makes me a little sad for them, but I think it's Washington's game to lose.
Well, Pac-12 After Dark, Cal at Washington State, the Pirate. I'm going Washington State at home.
I'm going Pirate all the way.
Pirate at home, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Pirate's on a roll right now, you know, sort of.
Yeah, who you got, Bobby?
Who you calling the Pirate?
The Mike Leach.
Leach.
Mike Leach?
He loves Pirates.
Does he?
Yeah, we call him
Pirate. I love Mike Leach.
Yeah. He's a wild
I'm all
man.
In on that dude. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going
Let's
to
go
Pirate.
Washington State.
He's
but, again,
man.
Nobody's going to be watching that game either.
No.
Right? It's
You know, you never know.
Well, and speaking of that, now that we're talking about it, the Pirate may be the only team that can beat Utah right now.
That's true.
I don't know, because the others aren't playing very well.
Talking about a ratings disaster.
Right.
Utah, Washington State.
Yeah. Woo! Whoa, terrible.
Absolutely. All right, well, that's our picks for the week. Bobby, thanks for being with us. You're going to be here in our next segment to talk Alabama-LSU.
Talk about
please come back and listen to Skybox the 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
You are back in the skybox on 90.7 The Capstone here on Saturday morning. Alabama and LSU kick it off at 7 p.m. this evening in the Red Stick. It will be dark, right? That's their big thing, they think. Night falls, they're unbeatable or something.
Yeah.
Made up thing like that. And so probably our biggest game, certainly up until this point. And like you said earlier, Andrew, that early on in the season, we didn't see this as being such a big game. But over time, they have continued to win and win and win and knock off a couple people. And I guess knocking off Georgia really was their entry into the top three or four top five in the nation, coming off of the first playoff that came out this weekend, the first playoff rankings. And so this game has gotten a huge hype. College Game Day, our colleagues, right, and ESPN are down there this morning.
That's right.
We were unable to make it because we had a show here.
I mean, right. Y'all invited me here, I would have been down there.
Yeah, they wanted
me pretty bad.
And I was surprised LSU was number three, they jumped Notre Dame in the first rankings of college playoff rankings. But, I've been – you've probably been too. I've been to Baton Rouge these night games before, and there's kind of a bad vibe for Bama fans in that stadium, to say the least, because there's a little inebriation going on during the daytime, and it kind of reaches a crescendo about 7 p.m. when the game starts. There'll be a lot of that happening. Not that LSU fans are the only ones who get overserved a bit around the SEC, but not to say it nicely, but Bama has done really well in that stadium, and they've won more games, many more, during this series, Bama-LSU games in Baton Rouge, than LSU's won in their own stadium against Alabama historically. And they've won the last, I think, three times in a row they've been to Baton Rouge. That, of course, you can't, this is a different year, you can't ever – you can't count on a win just because you historically are winning in a place, but it has not been that intimidating for Alabama.
Yeah, that's what gets lost in the whole narrative about how it's impossible to win in Death Valley at night. And
right.
Like, well, yeah, unless it's you're Alabama, which is like much easier. And so.
Right. If you come in there with a better team, chances are you're going to win the game.
Right.
It's pretty much that's the way it works. Sometimes not, but we'll see. Bobby, what do you think?
So Baton Rouge, to me, is one of those places that certainly gets overhyped. If you've ever visited, like the first time you go, you're underwhelmed by the place. And it's like, well, the stadium's nice, and they've got a live tiger next to it. And I guess that's weird, but...
Shout out to Mike.
Right, Mike the Tiger. And they've had...
$2 million.
Well, and they've had way too many of them die. And that's the part that's creepy about that place. You look around, it's like they've got all these memorials to like 18 dead tigers. And you're like, why are they allowed to keep bringing
the last one
tigers?
Die of cancer? Really sad.
Right, but why are they allowed to keep doing it? It seems like they've killed way too many tigers, to be completely honest with you.
One of those things in college football that you think would have gone away by now.
Yeah.
Like, 29. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why they actually...
30, followed by...
Maybe that's why they call it Death Valley.
Maybe. They've got a lot of dead tigers. Right.
Maybe there's something about that.
There's a tiger graveyard around the state.
It's gross.
Right.
That's gross, right? But I love this game. It's when I first came to Alabama, it was basically the first big game of that year. I got here in the fall of 11. And I was in Louisiana, but I was in Shreveport, which is just an even worse place than Baton Rouge. There's no metric where it ranks above Baton Rouge. I was there for a speech tournament, and I was watching the game in a hotel room with speech coaches and people who had been in Alabama for years, decades in a couple of cases. And these people were kind of going nuts, and it was my first semester of fandom. And I was like, this is a really good game, even though it gets kind of maligned because that was the 9-6
when the rest field of the goal country game. Too is over it, right?
Right, it was 1-2, and everybody else was like, upset about us playing in this game, and I was like, whatever, it's on the schedule. But I remember it being a really interesting football game to watch while all of my Bama fan friends were like losing their minds because we just couldn't win it. So that game like sits in my mind as a really special game. And then obviously coming back and winning the title against them, that was the first day that I really became a Bama fan. Like that whole day I was like, I had an upset stomach and I was like, why did I feel so bad? And I was like, oh, I'm nervous.
Right.
I'm nervous about this football game. I'm finally invested. Right. So for me, this game is a special one every year, and I'm usually traveling, so I don't usually get to watch it. And so we always make time and whatever hotel room we are around the country to like all of us get together when we're traveling and watch the game together, or find a restaurant that'll let us like huddle down by a TV and watch it. So it's got a really special place in my heart. So I'm really excited about watching it and hoping that it will be a good game. And I think it's I really like rooting for Coach O for some weird reason.
Why is he so likable?
I don't know, man, but love old Coach O.
It's because you can't understand him?
Right. Well, he's every man, right?
He really is.
He's every man if you're...
Listen, he was great in The Blind Side when he played himself as the Ole Miss coach. I don't know. The guy's likable. I find rivalries where... it's easy to hate Auburn, right? You hate Auburn, so you want to beat them. But, like, I kind of like LSU and Coach O, but it makes me want to beat them even more. Yeah. The friendly rivalry really gets me, and I love that because it feels like there's real like comradeship in those moments instead of just this pure hatred that is fun to watch sometimes too, right? But I think with LSU, they feel like they're almost our peers, and they kind of are, right? If you want to think about it in the past decade, right? And so to me, that really ramps it up. So I love this game. I think we're going to win because I think our matchups are just better, even though they're good. I think we're going to win, and I'm actually not worried about it at all. I'm just really excited to watch.
Right. Both defenses are lights out.
Yeah.
I think we know that. But the difference, and this is maybe the most obvious thing in the world, is the difference is Tua is better than Joe Burrow. That's just the bottom line.
Listen, he's to the Plains, Ohio, right, where I went to college.
Yeah.
That's Ohio, where Joe Burrow's from.
There you go. Yeah. And Joe Burrow's not going to be able to put up the points that the Alabama offense can put up. The defense can hang. Both defenses are lights out. But it's going to come down to, can Joe Burrow move the ball with LSU in that offense? And
can they trade scores?
Right, and that's just not that's not going to happen. LSU's going to need to – their defense is going to need to be lights out. They're going to need to run some trick plays. It's going to need to be kind of an ugly game for LSU.
And this is not going to be that.
And so
I don't think it's going to be their usual defensive battle.
Right. So it'll be kind of interesting to see.
I'm not even sold on both defenses being that great. I mean, Alabama's defense is really good. LSU's good. They're always among the best in the country. But Bama's given up a few long plays this year. LSU's given up a few long plays. In reading the fan boards and all that stuff, these LSU people, Bama will never, they're averaging 54. Just wait till they get in here. We'll shut them down. I'm not sure they're going to shut them down. I don't think Alabama's scoring 54 points, but it's possible. because Tua has never played four quarters. The point is, though, if he does play four quarters, it means probably it's a close game, But the thing about can Burrow and LSU's offense get into a shooting match with Tua and Alabama? And the answer, barring some unbelievable miracle, is a flat no. They can't keep up with Alabama's offense.
Well, and their best case scenario is stopping us from connecting with Jerry Jeudy and everybody else. Let's say they shut that down. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we have running backs who have been hit three times this year and who have been underutilized.
So Damian Harris has hardly played.
Right. One of the best backs in the country.
Absolutely. He's going to go in the first or second round and has barely carried the ball this year.
So let's say that
just
run the ball.
Right.
And he and Najee will chew them up.
And Jacobs, right, who started the last two games.
Right. Yeah.
Right, didn't he?
Yeah.
Another guy that's not getting talked about as much is, the Alabama's receivers are really, really good. Irv Smith is an absolute
just great.
And it's so much fun to see Alabama get Irv Smith involved. I think Irv's going to kill it. I think he's going to kill us.
Yeah, that's a great point.
LSU has said they're going to try to shut down the outside passing. Then we'll just throw Irv Smith in the middle.
Gosh, we'll just do that all
right. Irv Smith is going to – and Hale Hinchins is good too.
He is good.
Right. And if we can get both those guys on the field and throw it down the middle,
and
Smith will get open in the middle, right? They're fine. Shut down the outside. Do whatever you got to do. But we're going to throw the ball up the middle.
They're going to have to pick one.
Yep. And we're going to beat them with the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Who is it? Who's the guy that writes for Every Day Should Be Saturday? What's that guy's name? He was on Scott Van Pelt last night, and he was like, "Listen, I want this to be close."
Bum Chillips is his Twitter. Yeah, his Twitter name is fantastic.
He's good. Spencer Hall, right? He does a great job, and he was like, "Listen, we want this to be close, but it's not going to be." Alabama's got three different ways to win this game, and LSU's got one.
Yeah,
and yes, could LSU make magic with that one thing? Sure. But they're not going to.
It's just a tough thing to do. It's a really tough thing.
They'll come out really fired up, LSU. They will. And they're mad about, the Devin White. They're going to come out. But when it really settles in.
That's what I think.
Absolutely. And the other thing about LSU's defense, they don't have a great pass rush. It is a really good front seven against the run. They don't have a great pass rush. I mean, now, they may find one tonight. In terms of sacks and that kind of thing. So I don't think with Tua, I think Tua's going to – they'll probably – LSU will play their best game tonight and still lose by quite a few points. We got just a couple minutes, so what's the score?
I'm saying 34-17, and I think there's a chance it's 41-17. I think it's 34-17 and never a question. The first quarter's weird, settles in the second quarter, you're done.
I think 28-7.
Really?
Touchdowns only.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 28-7.
I'm going to say 49-28.
Okay.
Touchdowns.
I like that.
Touchdowns only.
Yeah. Right.
Lots of points. I think we're going to double them up.
I'm going 52-21.
Yeah, I like that.
52,
and I was going to say 50s, because I think
I think Tua is going to play longer, and I think that means more scoring because they're going to keep him in. First of all, Hurts is hurt a little bit.
He's been practicing. Said it was good.
Yeah, he's been practicing, but I don't think we'll see him out in as much as we normally would. So we'll see. But I don't know. I may just be so, you know.
I love that.
But I think Bama's got such an offense, and LSU, you know, it's like we were saying, that there's a lot of hype about this game. But in the end, is it really is this team, you know, at Bama's level right now, the other team? I don't think so.
No.
So who knows? I don't know. We're gonna find out soon, right?
Yeah.
It's
going to be great.
Well, that'll be it for the show this week. Thanks to our very special guest, Bobby Imbody. Thanks for sticking it out all day here with us this morning.
Right. You're the man, Bobby.
Some great insight.
It's great.
Good luck when you get back on the road, and good luck to your teams that are out on the road right now.
Thank you.
Thanks to Imani Williams as well, our student producer, who will be mixing this show. Be sure to stay safe out there if you're on the road or already on the road or planning to get on that road to Baton Rouge. If you're thinking about it and you're on the fence, just stay here in town. We'll see you right back here on the radio next week. 90.7 The Capstone. Roll Tide, everybody.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.